And I didn't realize that there was a job for that at the time, that that job was product. And so as I moved into product and I saw that that craving that I had all along could be fulfilled in product management, I was excited. I was nervous too, because I feel like there's a whole culture of product and I didn't know what that was coming from the ground up. But it was so open and there was such a great opportunity that I was optimistic about it.
You just heard a little from today's incredible guest, Alicia French. Her tenacity and drive to solve problems is incredible. She offers some great insight into owning your career path and taking charge at just the right time.
This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management.
Welcome back, everybody, to Path into Product. Excited to have everyone here. With us today, we have Alicia French, who is a product manager at Weave in Lehi, Utah. She's been doing product things for about a year and a half, but being an actual product manager since May this year. We're thrilled to have you on the podcast, Alicia. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Well, we're going to just jump right in. As usual, we'll just start with how would you define what a product manager is?
A product manager is, in its simplest definition, it's someone who gets things done. In its more complex definition, it's someone who takes a product or takes something that can be owned, and they own it from start to finish through its life cycle. So from the conception of an idea to the discovery of, could this make a difference for our customers, to the realization of what difference in fact it can make, and then creating that idea with a designer, with engineers, making it a reality, continuing to iterate upon it, and then delivering that product, that idea to the customers to make a real difference, making sure that was correct, that the difference was made, and then continuing to own that and manage it and to iterate upon it to make it be the most successful and useful.
So you said something there that I want to dive into just a little bit before we get into your path. But mm-hmm. You said to check up on or look at if the difference has been made. What do you mean by that? Help us understand what that means.
I think it would be very easy to build something and to let it go and say, yep, I've done that, and to wash your hands of it and move on to the next thing. But product management means you manage the product. That doesn't mean you manage it up until you release it and then you let it go. It means that you continue to own that and to follow up on it. And if we're building something to make a difference for customers, it means following up with those customers to make sure, hey, was this useful? Does this solve your problem? Did I miss the mark? And if I did, how can I make it better? Is there a bug here that we missed in initial testing? Can I fix that so that this product can make a real difference for you?
Yeah, that's great. I love how you say that. And I also actually wanted to ask about something that you said, which was the very first thing was someone who gets things done. Like that came right off the tip of your tongue. I'm curious as to why you feel like product managers are known as people who get things done. Why is that important?
I think it's important because I think we'll probably hit on this later, but one of my favorite things about my job is how many people I get to work with and how many people's problems I get to solve. As I'm creating this product, I'm not only focused on our external customer, but if I can make a difference for our internal teams as well, to say, hey, I'm releasing this feature. How can I make this simple for sales to sell? How can I make this simple for onboarding to onboard? How can I make this easy for our customer to use? And so picking up on the little problems of our teams and customers, and then fixing it, getting it done to make a real difference.
All right, that's great. So let's talk a little bit about your path into product, or your origin story, if you will, as a product manager. So let's go back to the very beginning. Where do you feel like your path into product began?
Great question. So I started in customer support at Weave 3.5 years ago. And After a few months, I became a team lead. When as a team lead, there was an office or a customer that called in, and she kept calling in to customer support and hanging up dissatisfied. And it turned into a pretty hefty escalation. And so my agents came to me and said, Alicia, we don't know what to do with this customer. She's pretty upset. I said, okay, pass that call to me. I'll take the escalation. So I get on the call with the customer and I say, okay, I need you to tell me what's going on so I can fix this. And she goes, do you know how many people I have had to tell this story to? Do you know how many people have said they were going to fix it and nobody has? And I said, well, you haven't talked to me yet. And so she told me what was going on. And as she's telling me, I'm like, wow, I have no idea what she's talking about, but I'm going to figure it out because I said I would. I am the end of the line for her. So I said, okay, can you give me 24 hours? I will call you back in 24 hours with a direction to go. So I've given myself this 24-hour timeline. And in the next 24 hours, I ended up talking to 19 people throughout the company. I talked to people in support, in onboarding, in sales, in product, and in development to try and figure out what we had promised this customer. And it's a long, glorious tale of people on paternity or people out on vacation and I don't know, misdirection. But what I realized was there was this gap, and this particular customer had multiple locations. So we call her a multi-location customer. And so it was the first multi-location like this that I'd seen. So after we helped get her set up, I realized that our product at Weave was not designed to really cater to that or to make it easy. So I ended up going to the executive team a couple of months after that call. I'd been watching it for a while and saying, hey, I found a gap here in multi-locations. I think I can fix it, or I would at least like to try. And they said, great, that's a problem space no one's been owning. And they created a custom role for me. I became the interdepartmental multi-office liaison for Weave. So in that role, I ended up going around the company and I would work with each department to try and figure out how they were handling multi-locations and what multi-locations meant to them. I ended up sitting on hundreds of sales calls and working with the sales reps to understand what they were selling and why they were selling it, what they were promising. And I started to block deals from moving forward to say, our product doesn't fit you yet. And then I worked with onboarding. I would onboard my own locations so I knew what their experience of onboarding multi-location deals was like. I sat in on calls with the CSMs to understand what issues our multi-locations were having. And I worked with them on their SWOT cases to understand why they were churning out. I worked with finance to see how we priced the deals. And I worked with anyone and everyone who had any kind of multi-location issue. I made myself the specialist for multi-locations throughout the organization. After about 8 months of this, there was an issue with multi-location that was kind of driving me nuts. And so I went to a developer and I said, hey, how do I fix this? And he said, that's above my pay grade. So I went above his pay grade to his boss and said, hey, how do I fix this? And he said, that's above my pay grade. And I said, okay, great. How do I fix this? And I went to his boss and he ended up telling me what I needed. So I went to my boss and I said, hey, I need these things. And he about fell off his chair. He said, okay, I'll get it. And he did. So with that, I said, you know, kind of going back to the executives and saying, because we need these things, we have to build product. We have to build for multi-locations. And so the executive team came back to me and said, great, we're going to build it. We want you to build it, which means you have to move into product. So I moved into product at that time and became the program manager of multi-locations. And as the program manager, I kept most of my liaison role, but I began to take all of the product requirements that I'd seen from all of those operational teams, and especially from my customer interactions on those hundreds of sales calls, and to piece together what our multi-location customers needed, what would solve their problem. And then we built our multi-location platform, which we call Weave Unify. So we launched Weave Unify in March of this year. And it was just a few months later that after a successful launch, they came to me and said, hey, we want you to keep Weave Unify. We want to add to your deck. So we'd like you to take on this other platform and we'll make you a product manager.
Wow. So much to dig in there. I laughed. Your title that they gave you when you first said, hey, here's the problem, let me fix this. Can you say that again?
Yes, the interdepartmental multi-office liaison.
Yes, that's wow, that's a mouthful. Thinking like some sort of a job description to go along with that, or was it sort of like you made up your role at the time?
Yeah, I had no job description. I made up my job every day, which was a lot of trust. In fact, I think that's one of the things that drove me so hard to try and make it as successful as possible, is because I was given so much trust with so little direction that it was, I have to make this work no matter what. I have to prove that I can do it.
So I want to, let's dive into this story a little bit, because I think there's some really interesting, you use some really interesting terms that I'd love to dive into.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that I want to talk about and just ask about is, you said you made yourself a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about like why is that important when it comes to product management? And how has that helped you in your career so far?
Yeah, so becoming a specialist, I didn't want to solve half of a problem. I didn't want to miss something. And originally, I didn't know, honestly, at the time, I didn't know what product was. I didn't know what product discovery was. I just knew that in order to solve the real problem, I needed to know everything about it. And that at the time in the company, nobody knew anything about it. And it seemed to me that if I was only getting the sales perspective, that wasn't enough. And if I was only getting, you know, what our customers, even looking at only what our customers were asking for, that wouldn't be enough too, because our customers have to be onboarded and they have to be sold and they have to be supported. And so in order to do this the right way, it seemed to me that I needed to know as much about it as possible to identify where the true pain points were, to create a solution that would solve as much as possible.
Cool. Where do you think that came from, that I just needed to know as much about the problem as I could, and I have to get it from all these different angles? Where do you think that came from?
I think that came from customer support, actually. Customer support, taking calls there. You're the bottom of the totem pole in some regards. And I have the utmost respect for customer support when I say that. But at the end of the day, you're taking calls for the broken things. And you're talking to the customers who, you know, to believe in Weave and to believe in my product for the company's sake, not even multi-location, but to believe that Weave offers a service that I deem valuable. But then to talk to these customers on the phone, to hear how frustrated they are and to hear how they're just desperate for a solution. They're desperate to make it work. And so to say, if I can look at the problem from all angles, I can solve that person from a future call, and I can solve others from a future call, and I can solve, or I can save support from those future calls.
Okay. So this gives us an opportunity to go into something else that you said that I found fascinating. So, I mean, as we speak to other product managers, whether it's on calls like this or individually, you know, there's this idea of staying your lane, or, you know, making sure you're focused, not losing that focus. And then you come in here and you tell us about, and I'll quote you here, you said, you realize that our product was not designed to help that customer. And so my question is, well, as you know, in that thinking that you're at, why not just say, okay, well, our product isn't designed to help that customer, so let's, why change that? Why not just say, well, let's sell to the customers that it does solve mm-hmm. for? Why try and go after this as a problem?
I have so many answers. I don't know which one to choose first. But I guess I'd say the ultimate reason that I tried to solve for it is because at this point, we were already selling to these customers. We have already promised a solution to them. And so regardless of whose lane that is, regardless of whether that fits what we're doing, we're already hacking it. And so I don't support hacks. I don't believe in hacks. I believe in finding the right way to do it and making that happen. And I appreciate lanes, but even if you're on a highway with two lanes, eventually you have to merge, you know, you have to go left so that you can get around the car that's blocking the right lane. And we all know how frustrating it is to be someone behind someone in the fast lane when they're going slower than they should be. and you just want to move past. Sometimes that's, I think that's what you have to do, is say, I'm going to find a way to speed forward on this road because there's a destination to be reached.
So you, one of the things you said you did was you had hundreds of calls with, you jumped onto hundreds of sales calls. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know what perspective that brought you. You know, you said you didn't know product management, you didn't know product discovery and assessing value and problems, et cetera, but you were on these calls with these salespeople. What did you learn? Not necessarily about the feature or the problem, but what did you learn about how to do discovery from that sort of an experience, even though you didn't know it was called discovery at the time?
Mm-hmm. I loved those calls. I actually miss being on them as frequently as I was. So first, what those calls gave me was an interaction with our customers to truly hear their stories and to hear them say, I am, and most of these were not yet Weave customers, but at the time they were looking to come to Weave. And the reason why they were looking was because something wasn't working for them with their current or previous system. And so they're saying, I'm hoping that Weave could solve this thing. And then doing discovery questions to make sure that Weave could solve this thing and saying, okay, tell me about your setup. Tell me about what you're doing right now. And then over time, as I began to be on more and more of those to create a pattern of questions to ask, but also to start to drive it towards a solution, or to say, if you could wave a magic wand, what would that solution look like? Or to start to dig deeper and say, okay, I understand that you were doing this with your previous system. Can you help me understand why that came to be or what that came to look like? How did this monolith come to exist? And then to start to hear problems within that and to think, I can fix that. If I could do that. And so that was such an incredible opportunity for discovery and for empathy. And then I loved just hearing different systems, how they're trying to make it work, and realizing that that's my customer that I'm talking to, but they have their own customers that they're trying to solve problems for, and connecting with them as real people.
I love how you say that. That empathy, I think, is a big driver for product managers, and also sort of your why questions, right? There's a exercise out of the human centered design field called the five whys, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I really love to rely on a lot. And that's just, you know, asking why this and why this and why that, and really trying to dive deep. And that seems to be something that just kind of came natural to you, some sort of inquisitiveness of just asking why, or did you read that out of a book, or kind of where did that why question come from?
The why question, I think it did come naturally, because as I looked at the solutions, as I looked at what they were doing with their former systems, I wanted to know why did you build it that way? Why, what are you trying to achieve? And recognizing that if I'm on hundreds of these calls and I'm eventually going to try and drive it to a solution, I have to have some commonality. And so that also helped me to create patterns and to say, okay, if it's this kind of multi-location, their why often follows this path. If it's this kind of multi-location, then their why follows this path. And after each location, I had a form that I would fill out and have the sales rep fill out. And I began to categorize those, and it actually created 9 different patterns. And so I knew that when we had a solution that would cater to all 9 patterns that I found, that would solve the majority of problems I was seeing in the multi-locations I was taking those calls for.
Yeah, and that's cool. I love, you know, forms, and let's get a pattern and start categorizing. That's fantastic. At any point, did you go to the product team and say, hey, product people, there's an opportunity here? And I'm curious if you did, what that conversation was like.
I didn't, mostly because what's interesting about our product team is that they owned a segment. Multi-location covers every feature within our organization, while the product teams were siloed. And so I could talk to one product manager, but they would cover 1/10 of the product, not the whole thing. I often went to the engineers that weren't as siloed and ended up talking to them and saying, like, you know, I mentioned that I'd gone to an engineer and said, how do I solve this? His range of what customers he worked with was different than the range of a PM. And then because I was trying to support hacks and already existing software, or just to discover what they were, it was often the engineers who had created those hacks in the first place, because a product manager would never have allowed that to happen.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so you've gone back to the executive team and you've said, here's this opportunity. I think I can fix this. At least let me try. and they say, okay, now you're a product manager. Well, how did you react at that point when they deemed to you the title of product manager? Like, what were your reactions?
I was nervous but excited. I felt like I was pushing towards my dream job. I can remember being back in customer support, and I actually got my degree in international studies with Russian. So the way that I found Weave in the first place, I think, is worth mentioning. I got my degree, like I said, in international studies with Russian. I knew I probably wouldn't pursue a degree in Russian studies, but having graduated, I wanted to get a job, get a good job, and maybe get some financial footing underway. So I looked at the top 100 companies to work for in Utah. I applied for 25 of them in a single day, and I went with the first company that hired me at the position they hired me at, which was how I got into Weave customer support. But I, coming from a Russian studies background, I didn't have any idea what jobs were out there. I didn't have a dream job. I didn't have as much of a direction. But being in customer support, especially with that first interaction of talking to people, talking to 19 people to discover that solution, I realized I loved talking to a customer, making them a promise, saying, I will find a solution. I will make this work. And I loved that I found a way to do that. I also loved talking to all of those different departments. And I had this hunger to see how Weave worked. I wanted to know how a deal was sold. What did they demo? What did they promise? I wanted to know how a deal or an account was onboarded. What steps do they turn on? How does this work? I wanted to know what happened after a deal went live and what customer success did. I wanted to know how it was built. I wanted to know everything about our product. And I wanted to work with as many people as possible to understand that. It filled me with joy. And I didn't realize that there was a job for that at the time, that job was product. And so as I moved into product and I saw that craving that I had all along could be fulfilled in product management, I was excited. I was nervous too, because I feel like there's a whole culture of product and I didn't know what that was coming from the ground up. But it was so open and there was such a great opportunity that I was optimistic about it.
I would love to dive a little deeper into these transition pieces that you had. Mm-hmm. Right? You have this transition to the mouthful of a title that you got of
the liaison role,
interdepartmental liaison, right?
Yeah.
And then you got this maybe titles change to a program manager,
mm-hmm.
And then product. So talk to us about maybe each of those transitions and what that meant for you and how different you think they have been,
mm-hmm.
How different maybe you think they should have been looking mm-hmm. back.
Okay. So looking at the liaison role first, my transition from support to that role was very liberating in customer support. You know, you're kind of tied to your desk and your phone and you take calls one after the other, even as a team lead. And then suddenly an entire role was created for me. And I had a manager who pretty much, like, my one-on-ones were, do you have anything to tell me? Do you have anything, you know, you need me to do? And I'd say, I don't know. Do you have anything you need me to do? And he'd say, you just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. I'm like, but you don't know what I'm doing. He's like, I trust you, you're doing great. And so there was so much trust in that role. And so I thought, okay, well, I've been hired to look at what multi-locations are doing. So I'll go find out what they're doing, how they're being supported, look at everything there. And it was intimidating to have so much liberty, but it was also, I think that's where my natural organization skills came into play, where, okay, well, I'm comfortable doing this. I'm just going to do what I think best. And that worked out really well. And so that took me to the next transition point of being brave enough to go to the executive team and say, it's not going to work. You have to build a scalable solution. I can't support these hacks anymore. I'm having to turn away deals that cannot come to us because our product won't support them. And I actually had very little data to support that. And so coming to me and saying, okay, let's build it, was kind of incredible. And then moving into product, I moved into product 2 weeks before we went into quarantine for COVID-19. And so separating from the team at that time, that transition was really hard. And being like, I don't know what product is. I don't know how my role is supposed to be different. I don't know. I know who the product teams are in the company, but I don't know how to distribute this multi-location platform where each of these product teams are going to have to be involved should work. So again, I just made it up as I went. And I would schedule meetings with the PMs every week or every other week, depending on how involved they'd be in this project, and saying, this is the direction I think I'm going. What do you think? How will your team play a part in this? And trusting that if I've got focus A running and then focus A starts to dive down, I'll go to focus B for a minute and then I'll revisit focus A and then I'll create focus C. And so it just kind of worked. Which sounds kind of terrible, but we made do, and then we got some executive backing that really helped to push multi-location through product and up to its launch. And then I guess the final transition, I had resisted moving to an actual product manager role. I did not want to let go of multi-location. I did not want to. I think I was a little afraid of the change of what an official product manager role would be. Where as a program manager, I was the only program manager in the company. And so again, that made it easier to kind of be the cowboy. And at this point, I was used to being a cowboy and an expert. And so they offered me a PM role 3 or 4 times before I accepted when I said that I could keep Weave Unify or multi-locations and bring that with me. And so that transition was a little bit easier because unbeknownst to me, I'd already been doing the job of a product manager, even as a program manager.
Yeah, that's 3 or 4 times before you accepted that. And was that the key then? It was agreed that you could keep running on the multi-office sort of problem and that you could own the solution to that. And that was what sold you on the product management career
position? And there was someone in our company that had left. And so his features kind of opened up. And I knew that was a feature set that from the time I was in customer support, I'd been watching. And so when his feature set opened up, I thought I can make a difference there. And if I'm being very forthcoming, I also knew that it would be a safe place to fail. That if I struggle to learn to be a product manager as I grow, then working in this feature set it'll be a good training ground, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's good to know, sort of the idea of somewhere to learn and to fail maybe a little bit. And you know, here we are, fast forward several months, and you're still a product manager, so you haven't failed yet.
Yay!
I'm curious to know how have you gone about growing as a product manager? You seem to kind of have this independent, I'm just going to figure it out as I go, sort of tenacity about you. But what sort of formal things did you do to kind of teach yourself product management as you were going along in that role?
Yeah, there have been several things that have made a difference. One difference between being a program manager and being a product manager is that with a product manager, I have a dedicated engineering team, and I've never had that before. I've worked with other teams and their engineers, but I've never had an actual team that I work with. And so it was going to the engineers and saying, hey, I'm kind of new with this. What have you seen in a product manager that you really appreciated? What are things that I can do to support you? What does this experience look like? And having the engineers train me to be a PM that can be effective for them was something that was very helpful. Reaching out to other product managers and saying, I might have been in product for 1.5 years, but I still feel new. Can you help me understand the role, understand the culture? Can you help me find the gaps? Where would you recommend? And so then, you know, often their recommendations in addition to mentorship will lead to, have you read this book? Let me send you an article. Here's a podcast you can check out. And so there are so many resources. There's so many people that want us and so many programs that are designed to help us succeed. And so starting to pursue all of those avenues and then taking courses.
Yeah, I love how you say that. There is a lot of content out there, like so much. And it's odd because, you know, like you say, you kind of do product management before you know that there's a thing called product management. But as soon as you know that there's a thing called product management, all of a sudden you're inundated with podcasts and books and articles and courses and all these things, right? And so trying to filter out, you know, the good content from the noise, I think can be a real trick. And you talked about, you know, talking with other PMs and kind of getting that mentorship is helpful. I do want to return to something you said earlier. And that was one, that you didn't really have a dream job in mind. And two, your reactions when you became a product manager were you felt like it was a step towards becoming your dream job. So I'm kind of curious right now, you've been doing product for a while. Is product management your dream job? Have you kind of decided that? And if so, why or why not?
I would say that it is my dream job. I think it's a phrase I used a lot at the beginning of this podcast, but my goal is to do something that will make a difference. I want to feel, I think that that's where I feel most validated and I find greatest purpose and joy is, did I make a difference? And in product management, I have the ability to make a difference for our customers and for our internal teams, and both of them are very important to me. I think about being in customer support, taking those calls, and how frustrating it was to see product that hadn't been tested or product that was breaking that no one seemed to care about. What's incredible is a lot of those features I now own and I can make a difference there. And then looking at the customers that we serve and understanding what their day-to-day routine is and thinking, I can make that better. I can make a difference there. I can make this easier for you or save a few seconds of your time or make this a little clearer to understand. I can help you. I can make a difference. And I think the third aspect there is I love people. I love to work with all different kinds of people. One of my favorite things about product is the ability to work with people in all different departments and to continue to see how everything fits together. I don't want to focus just on one puzzle piece. I want to see the picture provided by the whole puzzle. In product, I get to do that.
Well, Alicia, thank you. This has been such a fun conversation for us. So many different things. And I think I love the just simple, I'm going to fix this problem, right? You haven't talked to me. Tenacious attitude, I think, is very admirable. So thank you for sharing that with us and our audience.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening today. These people's stories are incredible. Each one is unique and comparable all at the same time. We hope you enjoy them as much as we do. As product managers, we are always looking for feedback. So please don't hold back. Let us know how we are doing. Before you go, please consider subscribing. Also, give us a rating. It really helps this podcast reach an even greater audience.